What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Again, a wonderful blessing to be engaged in worship service with you this afternoon. It's good to see this many that have stayed for afternoon service. I know what happens afternoon service. I teach middle school, and so I know exactly what happens after lunch, not only for the students, but for the teacher. I trust the Lord would be here with us and refresh our minds together. Last night, Dana said that when I sat down, Emily said, "Mommy, is he done preaching?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Whew, that sure was a lot shorter than what he usually preaches." I'd like to turn your attention this afternoon to a story found in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. As you're turning there, I remember one time I was speaking. I was telling Brother Virgil this last night. I was preaching at church there at Bay Springs, and I thought the Lord was richly blessing in that service there. And I was talking about the importance of the church and how wonderful church life is, and just how wonderful it is to have the blessing to come to church and be with church folks. And I said, I don't know of anybody that has gotten too much church. I said, raise your hand if you've ever gotten too much church. And Elder Sam Bryant's little grandson, Samuel, threw his hand right up in the air. And she gave him points for being honest. I know how that is, too. I trust that when the Lord's in it, we can never have too much church when the Lord's present. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I'd like to read to you the story about blind Bartimaeus. And before we get started into this story, I want us to understand together that blind Bartimaeus is the story of a blind man, not a dead man. This story illustrates the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see His ministry at work in this story in bringing a blind man to Christ for sight, not bringing a dead man to Christ for life. There's a big difference there. You know, there are only three times that I can find in Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead. Brother Rick read to us one this morning. We're very familiar with the story in John chapter 11 with Lazarus. And there's another one there that's a widow's son that lived in a little place called Nain. And all three of those occasions where the Lord raised the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ went to them directly in person. He called them directly. He spoke to them and gave them a command. Every time that He raised the dead, He went in person. He spoke directly. He gave them a command to live. And every time He gave that command, the dead came alive. You know, that's a wonderful example of how the Lord Jesus Christ works in regeneration. Every time the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God comes to a man and calls him, that's not an invitation and it's not an opportunity. You know, I worked with a fella at the chalk mine for a long time, and he was a member of another order. We used to have wonderful talks. He's a wonderful brother in Christ. And we were talking about the purpose of the gospel. And he was telling me, he said, Hadaway, he said, salvation and eternal life and forgiveness is, he took a $20 bill out of his wallet. And he said, it's like this $20 bill. And I want to give you this $20 bill. And I'm going to set it right here on this table. And all you have to do for it to be yours is reach out and grab it, and that $20 bill can be yours. I said, okay, Robert, well, we're going to follow that analogy in a scriptural way. I said, the Bible says before we are given life and regenerated, we're dead. I said, so I'm going to stretch out on this bench right here, and I'm going to pretend like I'm dead, and I want you to offer me that $20 and beg me to take that $20 and see how long it takes me if I'm dead to accept that $20. It just won't work, will it? You who were dead, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Christ came directly. He came in person. And He spoke to those individuals, Lazarus, come forth. And I love the next phrase of that, brother. It says, and he that was dead came forth. Amen. You know, that Lazarus did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He was a dead man. Jesus told him to get life and come forth. And he did just that. And that's the power and sovereignty of God and how He works in a dead alien sinners to bring them out of death into life. But now this story is not that story. This story is not about a dead man who needs life. This is a story about a blind man who needs sight. And I think that's a beautiful picture of conversion, how that we all need converting on an ongoing, regular basis. It says that they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. And I want to stop right there. Jericho, in Scripture, all through the New Testament, Jericho is a picture of the world. Jericho was an ungodly place. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notorious for being a very dangerous, treacherous road. And compare it to some places in Atlanta, some places that you just wouldn't go to at night, and you know where those places are. You just wouldn't go to at night. You wouldn't go by yourself. You wouldn't send your wife on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem by herself, because it was a day. Jericho, all through, and I could take the time, but we want to turn to some places that show that Jericho was just not a very good place. Jesus is coming out of Jericho, and it tells us earlier in the chapter, in verse 32, in fact, that they were on their way to Jerusalem. And I can't help but to think about what a spiritual application that is, the Lord Jesus Christ leading His disciples out of Jericho, going toward Jerusalem. And it says a great number of people followed Him. Would to God that today a great number of people we would see follow Christ out of the cesspool of this world into His kingdom of the church. Out of Jericho, going toward Jerusalem. You know what America needs to? America needs to come out of Jericho and go toward Jerusalem. We need, and the only way that we're going to do that is not by the man who's in the office or the woman one day that might be in the office, but it's by following the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's given to us to do. That's the only way to get ourselves out of Jericho. It doesn't matter who the person is in the office. What it matters is who's the God on the throne and whether we're following Him or not. And so a great number of people, a mass exodus out of Jericho going toward Jerusalem. And it says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You know, blindness is a terrible condition. I knew a man that was blind. He was a member of the church there in Gray for a long time, and he developed a disease that took his sight over a long period of time. And he was at one time a very active. We used to go over to the church and cut grass together and talk together. And he contracted some kind of eye disease, and he lost his sight. That's a pitiful condition, to be without sight. Blind Bartimaeus was in that condition. You know, I think it's interesting what the name Bartimaeus means. Timaeus. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. Timaeus comes from a Chaldean word. A Chaldean word. Chaldean was the language that they spoke back in the books of Daniel under the Babylonian captivity. Timaeus is a Chaldean word, and in its Chaldean meaning, it means unclean. And I want you to know that you and I, by nature, are the son of unclean. That's what we are by nature. We are Bartimaeus. By nature, we are the son of Adam, and we inherited sin in Adam, and we are unclean because of the sin of Adam and because of our sins that we practice on a daily basis. But you know, Bartimaeus means something different in Greek. Chaldean being the language of the captivity, of Babylonian captivity. And certainly that's a picture of us being in captive to our sins and death in sins. Timaeus means something else in Greek in the language of the New Testament. Timaeus in the New Testament language means highly prized. So who are we? We're both. We are Bartimaeus. By nature, we are son of unclean, son of deplorable, son of depraved, son of wicked. But in the New Testament language, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the son of the highly prized. That's what we are by grace. We are Bartimaeus. And you might have life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I tell you what we all need is a little more sight to know what He's done for us. This brother right here, I call him a brother. We're going to see that he's a brother. He didn't need life. What he needed was sight. And it says that this, that he sat by the highway side begging, poor, sitting, blind, destitute. Well, that's a picture of us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. The other Gospels say, I believe it was Luke, says that he heard the commotion. He heard something. He heard the multitude coming down the road. Can you see that in an old dusty roadway out of Jericho? In the middle of between Jericho and Jerusalem sits this blind beggar. And he hears this multitude coming out of Jericho. And he can't see, don't know who it is. And he asks some of them, who is this? And they give him what I suppose is the most wonderful news that he's ever heard up until this time. It's Jesus. Jesus is coming by. I love that phrase in one of the other stories where it says that one of his children was in need. One of his a beggar was in need. I can't remember what story it is. But it says that it came to him that Jesus passeth by. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. That's as good of news for you and I in the church as it was for this man 2,000 years ago. I tell you what, child of God, what you need is not some South Georgia preacher to come preach to you. What you and I all need is for Jesus to pass by.
Yeah.
Because the preaching of the gospel is in vain without the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of His Spirit passing by and coming our way. Well, I tell you, this must have been the best news he's ever heard. Jesus is coming. And so he began to cry out. And he began to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, that term that he calls him, son of David, easy for us to just read right over that. That's the profession of someone who knows and believes who Jesus was. The Pharisees didn't call him son of David. They called him the son, is not just the son of Joseph. They called him one time the prince of Beelzebub. They called him one time the prince of devils. But this man called him the son of David. How did he know that Jesus, and by the way, that was a term that belonged only to the Messiah.
Yeah.
Son of David was a term that we could read about in the Old Testament. And the prophecies that the Messiah was going to come from the lineage of who? David. Jesus, thou son of David. Now, pray tell me how this blind man, never met Jesus before, knew that that was the Messiah. You know how he knew that that was the Messiah? The same way that you and I know who the Messiah is. I believe this is a wonderful example of how the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit reaches a man and calls him out of darkness into a light of knowing who he is before he even meets him in the way. I love that story of Nathanael. You know the story of Nathanael? When Peter comes to Nathanael and says, come meet the one that's the Messiah. And it's called Jesus of Nazareth. You remember Nathanael's first response to that? Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Peter said, come and see. And so they brought Nathanael. Or Nathanael came to Jesus. And Jesus said, behold, an Israelite with whom is no guile. Now, Nathanael never met Jesus in person. Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? And Jesus said, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. See, Jesus came to Nathanael in spirit long before Nathanael came to Jesus in person. That's how the sovereign grace of God works in His children's life. I believe this is a perfect example of how the Spirit of God came to Bartimaeus and told him something in his spirit long before Bartimaeus came in person to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that it doesn't take your work of coming to Jesus in order for His Spirit to come to you? Blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Notice what he Notice what he was asking for. He was asking for mercy. That's another perfect example of how we know that this is a child of God, an illustration of a child of God. He wasn't saying, yeah, if you're Jesus, if you're who they say you are, then you need to heal me. He didn't say, Lord, he didn't say, Jesus, this is unfair. By the way, you know those folks that'll say that what we believe is unfair? I don't think a lot of people really realize what fair is, or they wouldn't be saying it. Child of God, you and I don't want what's fair. We don't want what's fair, because what's fair is an eternity away from God in a burning place of torment. Now, what we want is, we don't want what's fair. We want what this man cried out for. Jesus, have mercy on me. And it says that many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now, those were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were coming out of Jerusalem, out of Jericho, following Jesus in the way. And here's this old blind beggar. I imagine he was in rags. He was probably dirty. He was probably smelly. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a job. At least we don't have any evidence that he did. And he's crying out to the Lord of glory. And they want to shut him up. You know, that's a little bit uncouth. It's a little uncool for this blind beggar to be calling out to the Messiah. But I want you to know what Bartimaeus did. They charged him that he should hold his peace. Notice the next phrase. But he cried out the more a great deal. He didn't allow those people to deter him in his search and his desire to be near the Savior. Young people, listen to me this afternoon. We've been blessed this weekend to have so many young people. Young people and old people alike. I know some old people that could fit in this category. Don't you allow anybody in your life to deter you from seeking to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. This world, and even sometimes maybe good-intentioned children of God, can have a negative influence on our children's lives, and even on our lives if we're not careful. This blind beggar had a need that was greater than the value of him listening to these naysayers. It says that he cried out a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And notice the next phrase in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Jesus, who was the busiest human being, he was a human being in flesh, God, man. The busiest human being, you think you have a busy life? Jesus had a busy life. He was constantly going from village to village, healing and preaching and teaching and ministering and encouraging. And the busiest man that ever lived stood still.
Yeah.
What made Jesus stand still? He's on his way from Jerusalem, from Jericho to Jerusalem, and this vast number of people is following him. What made him stand still? I'll tell you what made Jesus stand still. It was the cry of blind Bartimaeus in a time of need.
Yeah.
Child of God, don't you ever think that in your time of need that the Lord doesn't hear you or doesn't pay attention to your need. I think it's interesting that, you know, Jesus knew what this man's need was. In fact, he stood still and he commanded that he be called to him. And down at the end of that story, Jesus asked him, "What will I that I should do unto thee?" I find the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked kind of comical that he even asked questions a little. That's God in the flesh, and he was asking men questions. Now, did Jesus ever ask a question to gain information?
No, sir.
Did Jesus ever ask a question that he didn't already know the answer to? I read about a woman over in the book of Mark who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be made whole. And she finally got close enough to Jesus to touch his garment. And Jesus turned around in that big old multitude of people and he said, who touched me? You reckon Jesus didn't know who touched him? No, I tell you, Jesus Christ knows the need of his people before they ask. And better than you can tell him, he knows the need. But he waited until Bartimaeus cried out the second time, a great deal louder. You know, that teaches us something, that when we pray, to be persistent in prayer, to ask and to ask and to ask, knowing that God knows our needs and hears our prayers. Now notice, he says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And it says they called the blind man, the disciples, these followers of Christ, they called the blind man, saying unto him. Now listen to what they say unto him. First of all, let me say this. Why did Jesus call for Bartimaeus to come to him? Could not Jesus have walked over to where Bartimaeus was? Did Jesus need Bartimaeus to come to him? To get what he needed, to get Bartimaeus' need met. Did Jesus need Bartimaeus to come? Of course he did. Jesus could have made Bartimaeus levitate and float to him if he wanted to. Jesus could have spoke the word. You know, remember that one time that man said, you just speak the word and it'll be done. Jesus could have spoke the word from miles away and Bartimaeus could have been healed just like that. But he commanded Bartimaeus to be brought to him. Think about sometimes the what ifs of the Bible. I know we can get bogged down in what ifs sometimes. That could be a miry clay to get bogged down. But I think about, what if Bartimaeus had not come? What if Bartimaeus didn't? What if he just said, no, I'm not getting up. If he don't want to heal me, I'll just sit right here. Would Bartimaeus have died and gone to hell because he disobeyed Jesus? No, but I tell you, he would have missed out on the most wonderful blessing of his life if he had not got up and came to where Jesus was. And notice, Jesus did go to him. He told his ministry. He told the disciples. I think that's a wonderful picture of the purpose of the ministry. He said, you go get Bartimaeus and tell him to come. And so they go over to the blind man. They go to Bartimaeus and they say unto him, tell him three things. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Yeah. You know, I think that's the gospel message in a nutshell. Be of good comfort. You know what the gospel message is? It's a message of comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Cry out to Jerusalem and say unto her, her warfare is accomplished. That's a comforting message, isn't it? I remember hearing a man on the radio one time talking about the gospel of love and how, you know, some preachers just want to preach that God's just a God of love and Jesus is just a God of love. And he made the statement, he said, I would rather scare somebody into heaven than love them into hell. There's a bunch of problems with that. The first problem is the first word out of his mouth, I.
Yeah.
That wasn't his call, was it? He said, I would rather scare you into heaven than love you into hell. He can't do either one of them, bless his heart. But you know, the gospel is not a message of fear. The gospel is not a message of you better get right or else. Yeah, I remember reading, I believe it was Jonathan Edwards, one of the famous preachers in the early time of our history. preached a famous, one of his most famous messages was "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." Boy, that's terrible. That makes my skin crawl. And he painted that picture about how man was dangling over hell by a thin rope that was fraying. I don't remember exactly how that story goes, but at any moment that rope could snap and we would be lost forever if we didn't climb up that rope or cry out to Jesus. I tell you, that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gospel is not a gospel of fear. God's not the author of fear, is He? But He's the author of love and of power and of a sound mind. Be of good comfort, child of God. Your warfare eternally, it's already accomplished by the only one who could accomplish it. But now listen what they tell him next. Bartimaeus, you be of good comfort. Now you rise. Now you get up. Because Bartimaeus, there's something for you to do. Child of God, there's something for us to be busy about in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't do it sitting on the stool of do-nothing. There are things that you and I, we as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to be doing, need to be busy about in the service to our great God. Be of good comfort, whether you rise or not, Bartimaeus, be of good comfort. But now rise. He calleth thee. Notice what Bartimaeus did. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I love that picture in my mind. I can see Bartimaeus getting up and casting away that garment. You think that's there by mistake? You think anything's in the Bible by mistake? Why did he cast away his garment? What's that a picture of? I think that's a picture of the importance of casting away anything that was going to hinder him. You know, back in the New Testament days, they wore them big old flowing robes. Those big old flowing robes down to the ankles sometimes. And he had to get rid of that. So it didn't hinder him in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I see a beautiful picture of that in my life, of things that sometimes hinder me in my discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? Ever things in your life that hinder you, that you and I could cast away? Bartimaeus rose and cast away that long flowing garment that would weigh him down and cumber his legs, and he rose and he came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now listen. Jesus asked him, "What would I that I do unto thee?" Bartimaeus, what do you need? Jesus knew exactly what Bartimaeus needed. Now, did Bartimaeus say, "Well, Lord, I'd love to hit the publisher's clearinghouse. What I need is $1 million. What I need is a mansion on the Sea of Galilee." No, Bartimaeus had a much deeper need than anything this world could offer. And by the way, if eternal salvation, I know I'm preaching to the choir about this, but if salvation were by the works and the profession of man, and Jesus, the greatest preacher that ever lived, if it was up to the preacher to save men to go to heaven, Jesus wouldn't be asking him, "What do you need, Bartimaeus?" Jesus would have said a much different thing. He would have said, "Now, Bartimaeus, if you'll just profess me, you can go to heaven. Bartimaeus, if you'll just believe on me, you can have your sins forgiven. Bartimaeus, if you'll just realize that you're a sinner, then I'll forgive you and you can go to heaven when you die." Wouldn't that be? I mean, If that's what it took, wouldn't that be a much better, wouldn't that be a much greater priority of message than having his sight filled, fulfilled? I mean, if it were up to the gospel, Jesus would have told those men, hey, you go get that man and you tell that man to be, he better profess me before he gets hit by a chariot on this road and dies. That wasn't the message. That's not the message of the gospel. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said, Lord. You see, Bartimaeus, I believe, was a child of God. Called him Lord, son of David. Begged for mercy. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Go thy way, thy faith. Luke says that, records it this way, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, was Bartimaeus eternally saved by his faith that day? No, but he was saved from living a life of darkness and destitute without Jesus. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now you notice what Bartimaeus did. It says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Other gospels said that he followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Child of God, this morning, this afternoon now, we know where our sight comes from. We know how we see the things that we see spiritually. We know who the one it is that gives us what we need in a spiritual way. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to go back and sit in the road to Jericho? Are we going to go back and sit in that same condition? No, let's be like Bartimaeus. Let's rise and follow him and glorify him and praise him for all that he's done for us. Blessed be his name this afternoon. Thank you for letting me come and be with you. I've enjoyed my time with you so very much. God bless you is my prayer.